Yes, Miles Kane has arrived in the studio. Good evening, Miles.
Good evening.
So happy to see you again.
Yes, thank you. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, last week you played Too Little Too Late for us in a beautiful acoustic version. You're going to play two more songs later on.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your new album, which will come out tomorrow. Coup de Grace. Coup de Grace, I had to say.
Yeah.
That's how you pronounce it, which is a wrestling move. We talked about that last week. There is a certain punchiness to the album, an aggressiveness in the music. I think you called it punk therapy. What is punk therapy to you?
Well, no, that came from when me and my friend Jamie were writing a lot of these songs together, you know, where we'd be chatting about what we want to write about and what was going on in my life at that particular time. And it was nice to release these feelings and emotions. It's always good to talk, you know, about how you feel, if something's upsetting you or annoying you or whatever that may be, to, you know, you talk to your friend about it.
Yeah.
So we would just be doing that. And then while doing that, we would be, you know, creating art and putting what we're saying, what's coming out from within to into songs, you know what I mean? So it would be, I guess, like a therapy session, but with two electric guitars.
Yeah. But I know some guys that also do that. Like when they feel something, they put it on paper or they write it.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think even sometimes with thoughts as well, which is something that I want to start doing again, is it's amazing how if you write something down, a thought, it doesn't even have to be a lyric, it could just be a feeling, how it does help. You don't think it will. But it's such a simple and old-fashioned thing, but it does, it really does.
It's like when they say talking helps, like this is your way of talking too. Yeah,
it does, because it just sort of puts it into perspective and makes it a reality rather than having the rose-tinted glasses on.
Yeah, you know? But still, like from writing a song to putting it on an album and putting it in the world, that's something different. Like, aren't you afraid of opening up completely?
No, that's one thing I'm not. I like to wear my heart on my sleeve, and I'm not afraid of that, you know.
Yeah. In Killing the Joke on this album, you draw a pretty grim image of yourself sitting at home, and you're saying like, I live a lonely life, leaving the TV on, letting the milk go sour. Is that artistic freedom, or is it concrete anecdotes of your life?
Let's just say there's been them moments, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Because your image is more like the one of a joker, right? Like the guy that comes in and... But this album has this openness to it.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think, you know, people can have an opinion of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... we all have opinions of everyone, don't we? And it's easy to pinpoint opinions of people, and especially if, you know, people that don't know you have only ever seen you, you know, with your top off on stage, giving it the big one, you know, or acting cocky. And and I am confident as a person in what I do. But I, at the same time, you know, real things do happen, and real, and the shit hits the fan sometimes, And that's just life, and that's just the same as anyone else, you know. So, and I like to, I'm not afraid to speak about that or admit those things, you know.
Yeah, we already talked about the fact that it helps with your emotions, but it also helps on the album because it turns out really good, and you feel that it's been written with an honest feeling to it.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk about the music. It has a very punk sound to it.
Yeah.
I know that Jamie T is also into that.
He's a punky
He's
guy.
A punk, in
he's
a way.
He's a punky, groovy guy as well.
Into the two meanings of the word, I can imagine. Did he come with the idea to put like the rawness in it?
I think before we'd even started work, like I had a song called Silver Screen, which is a real punky tune, which is on the album.
Mm-hmm.
And when I played him that, he was getting really excited by that. He was like, this is what we should be doing. If we're going to write some songs, we should write more that are in this sort of vein. Because you know, that just felt natural. And there was already a starting point there to think of where to take a record, you know what I mean? So, and once we went more down that road, I think we were sort of both getting such a kick out of it. It was sort of, we would be sort of encouraging each other to, who can do it the fastest almost, you know.
Okay,
we'd have fast tunes and he'd be like, nah, let's pick it up. And I'd be like, you sure? You know, and I think there was definitely conscious efforts in our writing together where when you are creating with someone or you're sat with just two guitars, there's definitely sometimes it can, there's no band or that. It's quite, to be, no. It's almost you've got to be doubly enthusiastic because it's just you on the guitar and it sort of feels a bit weird. So, but he would definitely push for that. Yeah, when we were writing, and we had a great little vibe going back and forth. Yeah, I mean, if you could hear what was going on, if you were outside the living room or you were next door, you'd think, who are these two nut jobs in there just screaming with no drummer?
Why are they breaking their guitars?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
But it has the feeling like as if you took like a band of punk heads and flew them back to the 60s or so. Because in the vocals, it's very smooth sometimes. You have these instruments that sound very 60s-like too.
Yeah.
That also makes it sound 2018 in a way.
Thank you.
But I don't know why. Can you pinpoint?
I think it's getting the... it's having the contradiction sort of being the... 1, 2, 3, 4. And then... doing like that starts the album on Too Little Too Late, but then the vocal on it is almost quite croonery. It's like, I'm too fickle, set in my ways. You know, it could be, you could make that into like a Rat Pack tune or Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
You know, I told you, honey, what can I say? You know, it's got a bit of that about it as well.
Yeah.
So I think if you combine those two elements, it becomes, you know, something fresh, hopefully.
Yeah. Let's listen to one of the songs you played for us acoustically. We have two left.
What are we going for? Killing the Joke.
Okay, let's listen to Killing the Joke then.
Okay.
Radio 1
Wonderland.
Cause you're my type. Cause you're my type.
Killing the Joke van Miles Kane. Helemaal nieuw, wat zeg ik? Nog niet uit eigenlijk. Komt pas deze vrijdag uit op de nieuwe plaats. Coup de Gras van Miles Kane. Hier dus een akoestische sessie speciaal voor Wonderland. Wat ik daarnet vertelde, was dat hij samen met de muzikant Jamie T zijn nieuwe plaat schreef. Dat voelde aan als een soort van punk-therapie. Het is een hele eerlijke plaat, dat kan je ook horen in dit nummer. Waarin hij vertelde over de moeilijke periode na het einde van zijn vorige relatie. Hij vertelde net dat hij altijd het idee heeft dat mensen te snel een beeld vormen van iemand anders. Hij is een beetje zo die felle, gladde, cocky grapjas. Maar eigenlijk is hij best kwetsbaar. En dat komt op deze plaat duidelijk tot uiting. Jamie T en hij schreven de nummers op akoestische gitaren. Ramden op die akoestische gitaren. Dat hoor je in dit nummer natuurlijk, of in deze versie. Maar dat hoor je niet op de plaat. Want daar gaat het best hard. On the album it sounds a little rougher, of course. This is the stripped down version.
Yeah.
But it sounds really good. How are you going to play the gigs live?
Well, we've been playing, you know, I've got a great band and we're playing them pretty much to, you know, as close as they are sound to the album, really, yeah. If not even more raucous. But it's been exciting. I've been enjoying doing these acoustic, I enjoyed doing this, these acoustic versions. It gives them a different feeling, you know, the songs, and I like how it's making me feel.
It's also like you put in, they're naked. Like,
yeah, they are.
They don't have any clothes on anymore. The whole album, like when you listen to it, it's a bit like you listen to a music history book. There are so many, I'm not sure if they are references, but there are certainly influences that are pretty easy to spot.
Yeah.
Like this song, Cry on My Guitar.
Born on a sweepstake 65, loaded with the cheap skates, barely alive. I said, yeah, I come undone.
It has like a T-Rex vibes to it,
yeah.
But also like maybe a deep bass mode, like your own personal Jesus, like the bass.
Lovely.
For example, like you have the Ramones.
Yeah.
The 1, 2, 3, 4. The coup de grace. It immediately like put the Magnificent,
Seven.
The Clash.
Yeah, the Clash, yeah.
Like all these different things.
You just sounds like the best album ever made, man. Yeah.
it's like a compilation album,
yeah.
but a new one.
Yeah, yeah. But now that's all those things that you have just said is what I've always listened to.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's been a long day.
No problem.
Heaven heavy. I'm just anyway.
You're a heavy listener too, or you haven't been a heavy listener?
No, I've been a heavy listener. I've listened to them heavy for, I can't even, I've gone off piece. But all those things, whatever you just said is what is right. I'm just going to leave it at that. Yeah. Your description is what I was going to say.
I have no description at all.
Whatever you said is what it is. Hello? Hello?
Is anybody still listening?
Yeah. Sorry, folks.
No, but like, was that the idea, like to put different references throughout your entire
100%.
Album? 100%. And do you listen to to songs while writing too?
Yeah, all those ones that you mentioned. No, this is a serious now. I was listening to. Yeah, I guess it wears it on its sleeve, and yeah.
But it works perfectly.
Yeah, thank you.
You've worked with Jamie T, we've talked about that. You also worked with Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
I heard that you wrote a bunch of songs with her, and then eventually Loaded came on this album.
Tripping on the sidewalk, living like a cyclone. What's that in your heart? Guess I'll never know where you go. Harsh words in the headlines, time to leave.
Yeah, well, we wrote a lot of songs together, just me and her and a couple of the lads from over there. And but they're all in a sort of more medium tempo pace, and I definitely wanted to make this one to be on the heavier, upbeat side. But Loaded was the one that, even though it may not be 1, 2, 3, 4, it's definitely got the same attitude as what those songs has, and it's got this sort of classiness and coolness about it that seemed to fit really well with the 1, 2, 3, 4s, you know.
Yeah.
So that one was the one that that made the record. You know what I mean? And the others, we'll just see what happens in the future.
I hope that something will come out. Do you have any plans
together? No, we did talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we'll just see. We'll see if they see the light of day.
Cane Del Rey would sound pretty good.
Cane Del Rey. That just sounds good. It's got a ring to it.
Yeah,
it got
a ring to it. Yeah. You're coming to Belgium the 31st of August.
I can't wait, man.
Gramme Rock. And also coming on the 2nd of October, you're coming to Botanique. Just one last question about your buddy Alex Turner. You played together in the last Shadow Puppets, of course. A lot of people, me too, got a big Last Shadow Puppets vibe when listening to the new Arctic Monkeys album. What did you think of their album?
I think a lot of people were really surprised by it. But for, I guess for me, well, because I'd probably heard it for a while, it didn't surprise me. And I think from when we made our Shadow Puppets record and I could see him wanting to sort of go down that road, you know what I mean, from back then. And the songs on that record that we've both said, you know, he went down the Everything You've Come to Expect route style of tune, and I went down the Bad Habits route. And I think that was probably the start.
And so
of him sort of exploring, writing songs in that world, you know.
Did he have any opinion about your new album?
He really liked it. His favourite tune that he's always liked is called The Wrong Side of Life.
Okay.
On this record, yeah.
We have one last song. Which one is it?
Oh, yeah. And that's... I didn't plan that. Fuck, yeah. It's called The Wrong Side of Life.
It's exactly that one that we still have left in an acoustic version. Thank you so much, Miles.
Thank you.
And I hope to see you soon at Gramme Rock.
I'll see you then. Cheers.
Radio 1. Wonderland. Masquerade, follow your rain clouds. There's water in the water, you just memorize. I was sitting alone, I pulled the rug from you. I bought the Holy Ghost to watch over you. Oh, baby, I'm on fire. Maybe I'm alive. Oh, baby, I would die for you. Oh, how I feel. I feel you don't love me no more.
And I'm bad for you. Baby, I'm there on my knees.
Wrong Side of Life in een akoestische versie van Miles Kane. Helemaal nieuw staat op die nieuwe plaat van Miles Kane, die deze vrijdag pas uitkomt. Is nog nergens anders te horen, dit nummer, The Wrong Side of Life. Trouwens ook het lievelingslied van Alex Turner op die nieuwe plaat van Miles Kane.